And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And today on the program, of course, we're going to focus like anybody else would who's worried about the situation with involving the United States threats against Syria and Syria's response. We're going to be talking at 5:30 to Zafar Bengash, who is with Crescent International. He's been, of course, travels in the region, knows all the players, as it were, and, of course, he's up to date on news, and especially news from the part of the world where most of ours is filtered through news agencies who don't actually have anybody on the ground, or somebody who answers the phone, I suppose, or occasional Skype connection. Anyway, this is a matter that needs to be addressed, obviously. Incidentally, there was a demonstration this past Saturday in many places around the world. There's one in Toronto, there was one in Montreal, in Washington, D.C., Chicago, Los Angeles, and as we will be asking Zafar, by the way, about the demonstrations taking place in Pakistan. He is originally from there. There's the underreported aspect of the opinions of those of the countries such as India and Pakistan. I want to mention the latest word that I'm hearing, and boy, with the internet, of course, the latest news is, you know, as quick as you turn around. But the Associated Press has published a criticism of the response of the Obama administration to their request for access to the intelligence that the U.S. is referring to. So far, what we have is people in suits or people like John Kerry who say, we have made these findings. So the Associated Press said, we'd like to see those. We'd like to know where you got them, et cetera. And they have not had they did not even get a response. Should be concerning, since the President of the United States has begun to play kind of hide and seek with what it is he intends to do, and when he does it, will do it. Rather sadistically, in my opinion, he talks about, well, nobody will know the hour, nobody will know the day, that kind of thing. Another piece of news today is that the Syrian government has announced, you notice I didn't call him a regime or a thug, etc. The Syrian government has announced that they have agreed with the Russian leadership. A proposal, I think, came from Moscow, which is that the any chemical weapons in Syria be put under international control so that they could not be used by anyone, and also would be accounted for, because there have been, since the beginning of this conflict, going back 2.5 years, there have been claims being made which are, you know, disquieting, and those claims have fed into calls for action. Somebody has to do something, etc., without verification. And so this proposal is rather interesting one. We'll see how it, I assume, by the way, I mean, wasn't born yesterday, as Judy Holliday would say. I'm aware that at this moment there is maneuvering, and we're talking about maneuvering by great powers, not Canada and not somebody else, not Venezuela, but great powers who are seeking to find solutions or put forward thesis that they can rally others behind. And so it seems to me a rather adroit move to suggest that the chemical weapons, if that is what's in question, that they be put under international control. And then everybody ought to be satisfied. Not that I believe that Washington is going to be satisfied. I think, as a matter of fact, it's more likely to accelerate their behavior, whatever it is they have in mind, because they are clearly in a state of isolation. We're hearing more and more about, well, they've got this one on site and that one on site. We have to go back 10 days ago when the British Parliament said loudly, we are not on site. And that is the most loyal camp follower Washington has had over the past half century. And I notice we're not going back revisiting that decision. But that's a big hole, and they can talk about other things as much as they like. But There's no repairing it. The British have decided to stand up like an actual government and to make their own decisions. Anyway, getting to the heart of the matter, Canadians ought to be looking to find an authentic government, and they ought to be looking for real parliamentarians, not zombies. And who would ask on behalf of the Canadian people, who, after all, can only turn to them? They actually can't turn to someone in Washington. They can't turn to somebody in Florida. They can't turn to somebody in France for answers, and particularly on the front of, well, what has actually happened, and what would our role be if we're going to have a violent confrontation between countries? And a helpful voice is a former member of the United States Congress. He might be available if the Canadian parliamentarians wanted to hear him. One of the most respected men ever to serve in the modern American Congress. His name is Dennis Kucinich. He's from Ohio. And he has published a rather helpful thesis. And I notice this is being cited, by the way, in many, many internet sites. And the name of Dennis Kucinich and this point has come up. He's been, in my opinion, the most helpful in the American context, joined, of course, by Ralph Nader. But here, this is Dennis Kucinich himself. The title is Top 10 Unproven Claims for War Against Syria. This is, you can find it, reader-supported news and elsewhere. His words. In the lead-up to the Iraq War, I researched, wrote, and circulated a document to members of Congress which explored unanswered questions and refuted President Bush's claim for a cause for war. The document detailed how there was no proof Iraq was connected to 9/11 or tied to Al-Qaeda's role in 9/11, that Iraq neither had weapons of mass destruction, nor was it a threat to the U.S., lacking intention and capability to attack. Unfortunately, not enough members of Congress performed due diligence, and this is, we're talking to you, Canadian Parliament, and MPs from Toronto, etc., due diligence before they approved the war. Here are some key questions which President Obama has yet to answer in the call for congressional approval for war against Syria. This article is a call for independent thinking and congressional oversight which rises above partisan considerations. The questions the Obama administration needs to answer before Congress can even consider voting on Syria. And again, I emphasize, this happened in the British Parliament, and it should happen in the Canadian Parliament. Claim number one, the administration claims a chemical weapon was used. The UN inspectors are still completing their independent evaluation. Who provided the physiological samples of sarin gas on which your evaluation is based? Who provided them? Were any other non-weaponized chemical agents discovered or sampled? Who from the United States was responsible for the chain of custody? There's a nice phrase, chain of custody. You found something, and then it left wherever you found it, and it made its way to wherever you are now. What chain of custody did that move? Where was the laboratory analysis conducted? Very interesting. I'd never heard anybody say where it was, where it's been conducted. Were U.S. officials present during the analysis of the samples? Were U.S. officials present? Does your sample show military grade or lower grade sarin gas? Can you verify that your sample matches the exact composition of the alleged Syrian government composition? And he cites, by the way, along the way, he says you can go to the a blog called Brown Moses Blog. He also recommends McClatchy News and Global Research. Claim number two. The administration claims the opposition has not used chemical weapons. The opposition. That would be the enemies of President Assad. And then he says, and I love this question, which opposition? Are you speaking of a specific group or all groups working in Syria to overthrow President Assad and his government? Has your administration independently and categorically dismissed the reports of rebel use of chemical weapons, which have come from such disparate sources as Russia, the United Nations, and the Turkish state newspaper? All of them have reported use of chemical weapons by the so-called rebels. Please remember that. This is my Phil Taylor's interruption of the text of Dennis Kucinich. Continuing with Dennis Kucinich, have you investigated the rumors that the Saudis may have supplied the rebels with chemicals that could be weaponized? Has the administration considered the ramifications of inadvertently supporting Syrian rebels? Was any intelligence received in the last year by the U.S. government indicating that sarin gas was brought into Syria by rebel factions with or without the help of a foreign government or intelligence agents? Now, and again, just to interrupt Dennis's theme here, in fact, let's remember that about 4 months ago, Carla Del Ponte, an independent investigator working for the United Nations, said that her findings were that the rebels had used chemical weapons. Are we all forgetting that, by the way? The administration has, according to Dennis Kucinich, and we all agree, they say that they dismissed the possibility that rebels... Well, how could they dismiss the possibility if there was already a UN finding by no less a person than Carla Del Ponte, former prosecutor of the International Criminal Tribunal for Yugoslavia and Rwanda? I guess that's inconvenient to remind everybody of, but boy, you better think about it, because we don't know what this administration is going to do. Here, back to Dennis Kucinich, claim number three. The administration claims chemical weapons were used because the regime's conventional weapons were insufficient. This is Dennis's question. Who is responsible for the conjecture that the reason chemical weapons were used against Damascus suburbs is that Assad's conventional weapons were insufficient to secure large portions of Damascus? Great question. Who did make that assessment? Because it's part of this is Washington's case to go to war. Claim number four. The administration claims to have intelligence relating to the mixing of chemical weapons by regime elements. Who saw the chemical weapons being mixed from August 18th on? Was any warning afforded to the Syrian opposition? And if not, why not? It's kind of rather interesting, isn't it? Dennis has put his finger on something. They claim to have had prior knowledge that this material was being mixed. Why wasn't anyone warned? Did you want somebody to be harmed? That would be an obvious question. Continuing Dennis Kucinich, if on August 21st a regime element was preparing for a chemical weapons attack, has an assessment been made which could definitively determine whether such preparations using gas masks was for purpose of defense or not offense? Claim number five, the administration claims intelligence that Assad's brother ordered the attack. What is the type and source of intelligence which alleges that Assad's brother personally ordered the attack? Who made the determination that Assad's brother ordered the attack? Based on which intelligence? From what source? And I'll remind you, at the top of the hour, I pointed out the Associated Press said they've asked these questions of the administration, and they haven't gotten any answers. Claim number six, the administration claims poison gas was released in a rocket attack. Who was tracking the rocket and the artillery attack which preceded the poison gas release? Did these events occur simultaneously or consecutively? Could these events, the rocket launches and the release of poison gas, have been conflated. Based upon the evidence, is it possible that a rocket attack by the Syrian government was aimed at rebels stationed among civilians and a chemical weapons attack was launched by rebels against the civilian population an hour and a half later? Is it possible that chemical weapons were released by the rebels unintentionally? Explain the 90-minute time interval between the rocket launch and chemical weapon attacks. Has forensic evidence been gathered at the scene of the attack which could confirm the use of rockets to deliver the gas? If there was a rocket launch, would you supply evidence of wounds from the rocket's impact and explosion? What is the source of the government's analysis? If the rockets were being tracked via geospatial intelligence, he's quoting the U.S. government, geospatial intelligence, whatever that is, what were the geospatial coordinates of the launching sites and termination locations? He recommends you go to fair.org, by the way, to look for information on that. Claim number 7. The administration claims 1,429 people died in the attack. Secretary Kerry claimed 1,429 deaths, including 426 children. From whom did that number first originate? He says, by the way, look up McClatchy News, because they've been following the same question and not getting answers. Claim number 8. The administration has made repeated references to videos and photos of the attack as a basis for military action against Syria. When and where were the videos taken of the aftermath of the poison gas attack? And again, he recommends fair.org for additional information. Claim number 9. The administration claims a key intercept proves the Assad regime's complicity in the chemical weapons attack. A key intercept. Will you release the original transcripts in the language in which it was recorded, as well as the translation relied upon, to determine the nature of the conversation allegedly intercepted? What is the source of this transcript? And boy, by the way, I just interrupt again to say, are the Canadian MPs going to start asking some of these questions? It really would help. And by the way, does Canadian intelligence exist, or is everything just a hand-me-down because this is a Me Too country, or whatever you say is fine by me? Because if you're representing Canadian intelligence supposedly working on behalf of the Canadian government, they have to answer these same questions. What is the source of this transcript? What was the exact time of the intercept? Was it a U.S. intercept or supplied from a non-U.S. source? Have you determined the transcript's authenticity? Have you considered that the transcript could have been doctored or fake? I mean, we all want to remember something about the WMD, Iraq, or the Gulf of Tonkin. There is a foundation for asking these questions. Was the senior official whose communications were intercepted a member of Assad's government? How was he, quotes, familiar with the offensive? Through a surprise acknowledgement that such an attack had taken place, through a surprised acknowledgement that an attack had taken place, or through actual coordination of said attack? Release the transcripts. Was he an intelligence asset of the U.S. or our allies? In what manner had he, quotes, confirmed chemical weapons were used by the regime? Who made the assessment that his intercepted communications were a confirmation of the use of chemical weapons by the regime on August 21st? What is the source of information that the Syrian chemical weapons personnel were directed to cease operations? Is this the same source who witnessed regime officials mixing the chemicals? Does the transcript indicate whether the operations they were directed to cease were related to ceasing conventional or chemical attacks? Will you release the transcripts and identify sources of this claim? Do you have transcripts, eyewitness accounts, or electronic intercepts of communications between Syrian commanders or other regime officials which link the chemical weapons attack directly to President Assad? Who are the intelligence officials, and I love this question, who are the intelligence officials who made the assessment? Are they U.S. intelligence officials, or did the initial analysis come from a non-U.S. source? This is Dennis Kucinich, his 10 questions that everybody who wants the truth in this matter, particularly members of Congress and certainly members of Parliament, need to ask before pulling triggers anywhere. Claim number 10, the administration claims that sustained shelling occurred after the chemical weapons attack in order to cover up the traces of the attack. Please release all intelligence and military assessments as to the reason for the sustained shelling, which is reported to have occurred after the chemical weapons attack. Who made the determination that was this intended to cover up a chemical weapons attack? That's a brilliant question. How could they possibly know? And let's hear from the guy who claims that he does know that. Or was it to counterattack those who released chemicals? And for the last question here, how does shelling make a residue of sarin gas disappear? And then he says further, the American people have a right to a full release and vetting of all facts before their elected representatives are asked to make a decision of great consequence for America, Syria, and the world. Congress must be provided answers prior to the vote in open hearings, not in closed sessions, where information can be manipulated in the service of war. We've been here before. We've been there before. It's called Iraq. That's Dennis Kucinich, one of the most helpful documents, in my opinion, to come into this current crisis. 10 unproven claims for the war against Syria. And according to the Associated Press, there haven't been any answers to Mr. Kucinich's questions, though he formulated his questions a lot better, I bet, than they did theirs. You're listening to The Taylor Report. It's CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, taylor@ciut.fm, and you can check us on the web at taylor-report.com.